We sing, "All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. I surrender all." We sing, "Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still." And we sing, "Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my will and make it thine, it shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is thine own, it shall be thy royal throne. Lord, I give my life to thee." In order to be useful in the kingdom of God, Christ stated the necessity of self-sacrifice, the necessity of giving oneself for the greater good, when he said things like, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it." We value our independence. We take pride in calling our own shots. Some may even say, "Nobody tells me what to do." So how do we relate to the idea of giving ourselves to the Lord? Would you say that you've given yourself to the Lord? Notice I didn't ask if you've been baptized. I didn't ask if you attend services regularly. I didn't ask if you did your Bible class lesson. Have you given yourself to the Lord? The Apostle Paul could ask others to pray that Christ might be magnified, whether it was by Paul's life or by his death. In Philippians 1:19 through 21, Paul said, "I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Paul considered himself unimportant, inconsequential, insignificant, trivial, in terms of seeking his own interests. After having given his resume in Philippians chapter 3, Paul said in verses 7 and 8 of that chapter, "Whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ." I'm not talking about somebody beating themselves up. I'm not talking about self-flagellation. I'm not talking about what is often called low self-esteem. I'm talking about somebody who humbly recognizes that the world does not revolve around them. I'm talking about somebody who humbly recognizes that without the Lord's guidance, they are simply a mess. And so they choose to bring their will in submission to God's will and to let him lead. Do you know why Paul was so useful, so valuable and effective in the service of Christ? It was because of the very fact that Paul considered his life to be of absolutely no value to himself in terms of seeking his own self-interest. That's why Paul said in Galatians 2, verse 20, "I have been crucified with Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In Titus chapter 3 and verse 3, Paul described life without Christ in this way. He said, "We ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another." Again, that's why Paul said in Philippians 1:21, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Paul had given himself to the Lord. How do we relate to the idea of having died with Christ? It's clear from Paul's life and from his writings that he had long ago died with Christ, so that his own life, his earthly desires and appetites were put to death. In Colossians 3, verses 1 through 3, he said, "Since then you've been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God." He goes on to say in verse 5, "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed. Put those things to death." In Romans 6, verses 6 through 11, Paul said, "Our old self was crucified with Christ, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we also will live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." Dying, being dead, is pretty strong language. It's pretty final. Paul points out that all Christians have died to self and sin when we were buried with Christ in baptism, and we were raised from baptism to live a new life. That's what the surrounding text of those two passages says. For example, just a few verses prior to the ones we read in Romans 6, verses 3 and 4, Paul said, "Or do you not know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." And then regarding Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2, those verses referenced that we looked at a minute ago, having died and having been raised. Just a few verses prior to that, in chapter 2, verse 12, Paul said, "Having been buried with Christ in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God who raised Christ from the dead." Since we died to self and sin when we were buried with Christ in baptism, and since we were raised from the waters of baptism to live a new life, we are not to place the emphasis on ourselves and on our own desires, because we died with Christ. And how do we relate to the idea of self-sacrifice for the Lord's sake? Paul taught that when we become Christians, we are not our own. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20. "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies." Romans chapter 12, verse 1, he said, "I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God." There was a man who always included in his prayers, "Lord, clean the cobwebs out of our lives." Those who knew him began to be bothered by the fact that he seemed to make little effort in his personal life to keep from making those cobwebs. and just as little effort to clean them up. Finally, he said it in a prayer once again, "Lord, clean the cobwebs out of our lives." This time, another man interrupted his prayer and said, "Don't do it, Lord. Kill the spider." People sometimes refer to things they would die for. I'm sure you've done that probably. It's usually anticlimactic. I would die for a piece of chocolate right now. I would die for some brownies right now, and the list could go on. Though you never know what the future holds, in this country, it's always been safe to say that you would die for Christ. It's been easy to say that if it ever came down to it, you would die for Christ. That's always been easy to say because it's always been unlikely that it would ever be put to the test. But what is put to the test is whether or not we will live for Him. Dying for something has always been considered the ultimate test, so it requires more to die for something than to live for something. But if we can't do the lesser, how can we claim we would do the greater? What are we willing to give up for Christ? Are we willing to give up some comfort? Are we willing to give up a little time? Albert Barnes said, "One who is not willing to give up everything is really willing to give up nothing." Throughout history, many have been called upon to give their lives for the Lord. Do we honestly think that our sacrifice is having to go to services 2 to 3 times a week? Does Christ expect others to give the ultimate sacrifice, yet He understands if we can't make minimal sacrifices? If we will not make a few sacrifices for the Lord, if we will not modify our behaviors, our intentions, our attitudes, can we really claim that we would die for the Lord? Matthew 10, verses 34 through 39, Jesus said, "Do not suppose that I've come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I've come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it." If we can't do the lesser, let's not claim that we can do the greater. Remember those songs again? "All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give." We sing, "Have Thine own way, Lord, have Thine own way. I am the potter, Thou art the potter." That's the way we get it sometimes. "I'm the potter and You're the clay. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after Thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Lord, I give my life to Thee." In coming to the Lord, these promises are ours: forgiveness of sins, freedom from guilt, confidence about life, the promise of peace beyond all comprehension, a meaning and purpose in life, hope for life and eternity. In order to be confidently sacrificial, we must rest assuredly in our true value. People are often sacrificial in order to feel valuable, but we can never do enough to fill the giant void that's created by the craving for self-worth. But if we allow God to shape and define our worth, we are free to empty ourselves without the fear of losing ourselves. Your values come not from what you bring to the table, They come from the one who brought you there. God made you in his image, and more than that, God has seen you, the very real, very selfish, very sinful you. And yet God willingly gave up that which he loved most in order that you might be his. Your thoughts and your actions still fall short. Your thoughts and your actions continue to betray your lack of love and trust in the Lord. And yet God continues to love you even with all your shortcomings. We find our value in the Lord, not in anything that we have done. We sacrifice ourselves for the one who lovingly sacrificed himself for us.